Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
53106 at a cost of 30 cents if you want to get in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Now, are you guilty of endless swiping up on Instagram posts? Has your online shopping been, well, strongly influenced by maybe who or what you follow on social media? Do you believe all the reviews and follow the recommendations by the social media stars, or do you take them with a little bit of a pinch of salt too? Well, according to new research that's been conducted by the Advertising Standards Authority, about 51% of people here in this country say they're actually concerned by a lack of transparency in influencer marketing. Well, joining us here on News Talk is the journalist and beauty editor Aisling Keenan. Well, Aisling, what do you make of this research, first of all?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising to me because I think, I mean, as much as I'm kind of in the industry as a journalist, I still follow influencers and love following influencers and do get a lot of kind of inspiration and, you know, shopping advice and what have you from influencers. But it has occurred to me, you know, about the transparency of it all and about the correct use of hashtags and the lack of hashtags where they're supposed to be used. And I you know, as a kind of consumer, I am concerned about transparency, but as someone who's kind of in the industry as well, I completely understand and support the influencer need to make a living via the content they create, because, you know, they do put a lot of effort into the content, and it only makes sense that they can make a living from it. But I definitely think the ASAI are right in trying to make it a little bit more clear for consumers.
Look, I'm you know, an Instagram user, and I'm on it, you know, nearly every second minute of every day, Aisling, and I would look at various different influencers and people and what they put up and what they post. And I'm often a little bit confused about whether or not, you know, sometimes they might have a swipe up link. It mightn't say on the post that this is a sponsored advertisement, or maybe they were gifted some present, or they're doing some, you know, promotional thing with some company. And there seems to be various different filters that they, you know, that can be used. It's hard to sometimes differentiate whether or not they're actually getting paid for something.
It definitely can be. And I think that's why, I mean, I know from, like, again, using Instagram myself, I get confused. I know all the rules, and I you know, because I've looked into them and I've kind of researched them and stuff. But for just the average consumer, the average user of Facebook or Instagram, it can be incredibly difficult to know what's sponsored and what's not, particularly with the, you know, there's such a massive varying amount of hashtags that can be used. I personally think that the guidelines need to be more black and white. Like, they need to be incredibly clear. People need to be I think, to be honest, they need to go from guidelines to regulations, to be perfectly honest, because I think the clearer things can be and the more transparent the industry is, the more successful and sustainable it will be for the people who are taking part, the people who are both buying and selling within the industry. Because influencer marketing is, I mean, it's undeniably one of the biggest and most successful ways for brands to reach their customers now, particularly with, you know, magazines and print titles not having as many advertising pages and not having the same reach that they once did. But I do think, you know, as a journalist, kind of, I mean, in magazines used to be the original kind of influence, mm-hmm. I suppose, back in the day. And magazines were regulated, and there were strict rules about advertorials, and there still are strict rules about what, you know, how to mark the top of the page, you know, advertorial, or make sure people know this is an ad, this has been paid, this is a sponsored piece of content. So I think the same rules need to be applied to the influencer marketing community, because otherwise,
yes, rules were brought in, though, Aisling.
Yeah, they were. I don't know necessarily if they were. It struck me anyway as that they're more guidelines than necessarily strict, you know, hard and fast rules. Because as far as I can see, you know, there are a lot of influencers that are completely abiding by them, but then there are some that are playing a little bit fast and loose with what to do. In terms of things like, I mean, we've all seen it where a hashtag spawn or hashtag ad might be hidden down the bottom corner of a post or a series of posts. And the consumer looking at that, kind of flicking through Instagram, it might not, you know, it might not twig with them straight away that they're looking at an ad. Whereas some other people are incredibly clear with it, and they say this part here, the next five, you know, pieces of my story are an ad, and they put the right hashtags visible and prominent, and it's all very clear what's sponsored and what's not. So some people are really conscientious and doing the right thing, and then some people, they just aren't. Mm-hmm. So.
Louise Cooney is also with us here as well on Lunchtime Live. Stay with us, Aisling. If you want to get in touch with us here on the programme, it's 1894 53 106. Louise is an influencer. She's over maybe, I don't know, 215,000 followers. Louise, what do you make of this research today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting to hear and to get kind of more black and white feedback on what people really think. And there definitely, you know, definitely is kind of a grey area, because I think the reason it's so grey is because it's not always just paid ads. It could be gifting. It could be a collaboration of some sort. You know, there could be like remuneration in some form. And it's so hard to regulate that, because it's not necessarily a paid partnership and it's not necessarily an ad, but it is some sort of collaboration. It is a marketing communication at the end of the day. And that is what the SAR are trying to say, is that if there is a marketing communication of any sort there, it needs to be disclosed. And that's, I suppose, where the trust can come in. But it's an interesting one, because like they also spoke about how an overuse of ads, or if there's too many ads, people get annoyed by that too. So you're trying to disclose nearly everything. And that can annoy people as well. So it's hard to get that balanced, you know?
Yeah, it was the guts of nearly 60%. Actually, I was looking at some of the figures this morning, said they were annoyed at seeing too much sponsored content. And I know sometimes you might go on to, you know, an influencer's page. And I'm not talking necessarily about you, Louise, in particular. But, you know, you might go on to some influencer's page and it's just ad after ad, flogging this, flogging that, flogging the other. And, you know, it might be a swipe up link, and then it's a gift, and then it's, you know, sponsored collaboration. But like, I don't know, does that mean it's an ad? Advertisement? Does that, if it's a sponsored collab, is that to me that just means it's an ad, you've been paid?
So yeah, if it's a sponsored ad, that's an ad. But if it's an AF link, like there are different forms of revenue incomes for influencers, and there are different hashtags that we have to use for each form of revenue income. And like, I thought it's interesting to hear there about that for magazines, for example. In the past, they would always have to disclose advertorials, but I often see gifted items in magazines not disclosed as gifted because they're press items. So that for me is confusing, because sometimes if I get a mascara 2 months ago and I've only started using it, but I really like it, can I say, do I have to disclose that this was sent to me 2 months ago? Or, you know, it's just a really kind of confusing area.
Yeah, just stay with us, Louise. And Aisling, can I just ask you about that? The you know, I suppose you would see kind of press drops, I think they're called, sometimes might be, is that gifted around to people? I presume it's for a review or something. But, you know, Louise's point there, like, is that something that you have to, that's really an ad too, is it?
I mean, it depends. Technically not. If you're gifted something, you should say that it's gifted. It's not an ad, because what kind of, I think the combination of things that define an ad is that money has changed hands or product has changed hands, and some kind of directive as to how you need to post about this. So as a beauty editor, I receive beauty products all day long, and I am, you know, I'm under no obligation from the people who send those to me to talk about them in any particular way. However, I would, as a kind of, just as a gesture to the people who follow me and to be transparent about it, I always put up press sample. I don't believe that it's a gift. If it's a beauty product, it's a tool for me to do my job. I can't do my job unless those products come to me. And so as a result, I put up press sample rather than gifted. However, if somebody sends me a pair of shoes, I'm not a fashion writer. So I would put up, if I am going to post about it, I'm putting up gifted, because that isn't a tool for me to do my job. That's just a gift. That's just a brand trying to get their name out there, looking for me to maybe post about them. So I think there has to be a line drawn between marketing and PR, and there also has to be a line drawn between gifting and something that's a press sample.
So you work in, obviously, in the beauty side of it, Aisling. So do you only post then about beauty items?
No, I post about other things. But like I said, if I've been sent something that's not relevant to beauty, then I consider it a gift, because it's not useful to me in my job. 9 times out of 10, though, if I am ever sent something that's not relevant to my audience, and, you know, they're mostly following me because I talk about beauty, I won't post about it at all. I just won't. And that's you know, that's fine, because when something is sent to you, there's no obligation to post, or there's no obligation to say anything positive, whereas when it's an ad or when it's sponsored content, there is that obligation there.
Louise, when you get maybe, you know, contacted by a company and they say, I've whatever, a new tracksuit range or makeup or whatever it is, the product that they want you to promote for them, and you receive it and, you know, you try it out or try it on and you think it's rubbish, you've no interest in it, but you've been paid to do it. What are the rules around that?
See, that would never happen, because I'd never accept a gift, or I'd never, you know, accept a job to say I'm going to be promoting something that I haven't tried and that I don't already love. And I really do stand behind that. I believe in integrity, and I think that's kind of why I've gotten as far as I have in the industry, because people can trust me. And that's such a huge part, and that's what the chats today were all about. Like, the industry has grown so much. It's grown from, I think, 1 billion 5 years ago, and then next year it's going to be worth 15 billion. It's grown to over 20 times in just under 6 years. And I think in order to keep it growing, you need to really keep that trust there and the transparency there. And because it's such a new industry, it's new to all of us. Like, even listening to Aisling there, you can see how confusing it is, like, and how many different strains there are. It's not always just ad. But I think it's always, you know, honesty is the best policy, and to be safe rather than to be sorry is the best way to do it, and to put some sort of a disclaimer or just explain the situation, and people will be more understanding, and they just like to be kept in the know, you know.
Do you, Louise, when you talk about the fact the industry has grown so much, and as I mentioned, there's, you know, you've 215,000 people are looking at what you post on a daily basis, you know, is it, what kind of additional rules or regulations would you like to see brought in to regulate the industry more?
Well, to regulate the industry more, and also to get rid of that, not get rid of, but, you know, lower the percentages of people who feel they can't trust influencers. I, first of all, don't even like the word influencer, because I hate to think you're influencing people's decisions, but I suppose you are.
I suppose you are.
That many people. Yeah, that's it. So like, I mean, there's no way around it. But the word influence, I think, already has a negative connotation with it.
What would you prefer to be called?
Well, I would call myself a blogger, because that's where I started. It's moved more onto social media, but I still vlog, I still blog. You know, I share kind of my life online through writing, through video, through pictures. But yeah, I would prefer the word blogger, because that's kind of, I suppose, more true to what I do. But when you're talking about what rules would I like to see being brought in, I think for me, it being more clear about marketing communications when it's press drops and when it's gifting, that sometimes can be unclear depending on how much the company has been in touch with you, depending on what the gift actually is, stuff like that. And I'll always try and be as clear as I can be, and sometimes I do it too much. You know, I'll put an ambassador on something, or I'll put a collab on something when I'm not being paid, and then people get annoyed by that. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just confusing for people. So I suppose it's just going to take time, and it's just about listening to my audience, and, you know, what annoys people and what people enjoy and when people are engaging. So that's kind of what I try to do.
You, Aisling, you've kind of been receiving, I suppose, some commentary or feedback from followers or readers about all of this too in recent times.
Yeah, so essentially what happened was I completely agree with Louise, actually, what she said about the clarity. I definitely think things need to be so much clearer. And for that reason, and also, I mean, I love getting feedback from anyone who does follow me in terms of what they want to see and you know, from my content or whatever. I essentially haven't ever taken sponsored content or ads, because purely from the perspective of my job as a journalist and the magazines that I write for and things, I didn't want to blur the lines in terms of, you know, if I'm taking revenue from a beauty brand and the magazine is also looking for revenue from the beauty brand for ads, I didn't want my editors to feel, oh, well, there's our revenue being diluted by, you know, part of it is going to Aisling as a beauty editor and part of it is coming to us. So that was kind of the reasoning behind my decision personally. And that's not to say that I don't think influencers do a fantastic job and deserve every earning they make from their content. But I recently thought about, or I had an offer to do an affiliate link program, which essentially is a small, very small commission based on if you recommend something and you direct people to a particular website at which to buy that product, you get a little bit of a kickback from that, from their purchase. And I had an offer from a small Irish brand that I really, I've used myself. I support them myself. I had no affiliation with them beforehand. And they came to me and asked me would I want to be part of it. So I haven't decided whether I will or not, but I spoke to my followers yesterday. I did some polls and I asked people, and I had about 3,000 or 4,000 responses, which is small fry compared to obviously Louise's followers. But it was really interesting in the sense that the feedback that came in was really similar to the ASAI feedback from the survey. It was kind of like, yes, we know what an affiliate link is. We're fine with them, but it's affiliate link fatigue is what kind of troubles okay. people. And I think what they meant by that, and I was in conversation with a few people that follow me just out of interest, and they were kind of saying, you know, when they don't mind when an influencer or a writer or whatever puts up a link and says, here's a handy link to buy this, I'll get 10 cents from your purchase. They don't mind that. What they mind is when it's not genuine, when it's not authentic, and when it's just link after link after link after link for, you know, 20 different pairs of the same kind of jeans, and the person who's, you know, promoting those items of clothing hasn't actually tried them, hasn't got a, you know, any sort of, they're literally just putting those links there to, in the hopes that, you know, some of their followers will swipe up, will buy, and they'll get the commission. And I think, you know, that is a completely legitimate way for influencers to earn money, and that's why I was considering it. But I just don't know if, you know, it's I think it's the volume and the authenticity in combination. I don't think it's necessarily one or the other. I think you can be completely, you can have lots of affiliate links and still sound really authentic. But it's the lack of one or the other that makes the problem.
Just finally, Louise, it must be exhausting, is it?
Which part?
Your whole sharing your whole life. You know, I follow you on Instagram, and I know you've moved to Dublin, and I see you're out for walks every day with the dog. And you know, but I just think to myself, you must be exhausted putting every moment of the day up online.
Do you know what? Sometimes it comes really naturally to me, like, and I've been doing it for years now, but there definitely are days where I'm like, is this something that I can do forever? Is it something that I want to do forever? Share, you know, essentially every part of my life, you know? And I think as I get older and the longer I'm doing it, the more, you know, my opinions change, or I might change how I do certain things. But like, I really do enjoy what I do, which is the creative side of it, and creating videos and, you know, just thinking of ideas and doing them and having that creative control. It's actually really fun and rewarding, you know?
Yeah. Is there a shelf life to this though?
I mean, that's a good question. It's a new industry, but it doesn't look like it. All I see is growth. You know, I see digital, you know, kind of going ahead there in terms of projections for the future of where people are spending their advertising money. So I don't think so. I think it's always going to evolve, and I don't think the way we're doing things now will be how it will be done forever. I think you have to stay on top of your game, and you have to, you know, definitely keep the trust and transparency there as well.
Yeah. Do you see yourself blogging though in 40 years time?
I don't know. How old will I be then?
Will we be blogging in our 70s and 80s?
I mean, what I do and like taking pictures and writing and taking videos, that has always been something I've enjoyed. That the whole element of having an audience and getting bigger with time, that's something that I've had to come to terms with. So I don't know if that's what I would want forever, but I definitely will be writing and taking videos and taking pictures and styling outfits forever, regardless of whether it's my job or not.
Good stuff. All right, Louise Cooney, influencer and blogger, thanks for being with us here on Lunchtime Live today, and also journalist and beauty editor Aisling Keenan.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.